We're going to answer the question, according to the New Testament, who killed Jesus? And a whole lot happening in the Jewish world. We'll focus on that as well. And take your Jewish calls.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There's no question about it. Jews are being targeted as Jews for murder in America now. We need to confront it. We need to talk about it. We need to face head on the rising tide of anti-Semitism and its followers of Jesus. We need to do our best to push back against it. This is Michael Brown. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. And here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7888. 884. Any Jewish related question of any kind, by all means, we'll take it up. We have a video that we've posted on our Facebook page on Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. We did not post it on YouTube because sometimes when we confront anti-Semitism on YouTube, we get blasted as if we are putting forth anti-Semitic ideas. I mean, YouTube itself misunderstands us, even gives us a strike. When we expose anti-Semitism, they give us a strike for the hate-filled content, but we're exposing the hate-filled content. So we have it on our Facebook page. But it is some disturbing clips in the aftermath of the Jersey City shooting. We'll be talking to you about that. I also want to look at the New Testament scriptures. I want to look at the subject of who killed Jesus. What did the apostles say? Did they lay it on the feet, lay the blame at the feet of, quote, the Jews or the Jewish people for all time? We'll talk about that. The president's executive order regarding anti-Semitism, talk about that, play some clips for you as well. And the vote in the UK. Why is that important? What's that got to do with Thoroughly Jewish Thursday? Well, Labour Party has been running very close to the front, and Labour Party led by Jeremy Corbyn, who has been credibly accused of anti-Semitism many times, and Labour Party itself accused of not dealing with anti-Semitism properly. So when you have the growing Islamic population of England as a whole, when for years now, Mohammed has been the number one boy's name in England. By the way, it's within the top 10 for the first time ever, boys' names in America. When you have the mayor of London being a Muslim, and when you have an anti-Semitic party or a party with anti-Semitic leadings potentially poised to take over the nation, it is something to talk about and something to address. Again, any Jewish-related question you have for me, if you want to challenge me on something, if you believe I'm wrong in calling Dr. E. Michael Jones or Rick Wiles and True News anti-Semitic, tell me why. I've also got an article up on our website, AskDrBrown.org, as well as a video where we specifically call out Rick Wiles. Rick Wiles has now claimed that I'm defaming his character by calling him anti-Semitic. I'm calling him anti-Semitic because he is. He's wrongly, he's wrongly accused me of calling him a neo-Nazi, which I never did. I quoted an Orthodox Jewish news outlet, a website that calls him a neo-Nazi, and I did that to point out how toxic his views appear in the Jewish world. I've never called him a white nationalist or white supremacist, although he says that I did. Called him bigoted and anti-Semitic, which he is. His views are just that. When he tells you that, quote, the Jews are going to take over America and kill millions of Christians, that's anti-Semitic lies, and it's dangerous stuff. These are dangerous lies. So he calls me out for slyly insinuating that he was a neo-Nazi, which I did not do, and then reinforces his anti-Semitic views. He argues in favor of them. So I urged him to stop lying. He said, well, why don't you deal with this privately? Number one, Rick Wiles will not deal with it privately, and he won't have a debate with me, won't have me on his show, won't come on mine. All right? That's the first thing. The second thing is these are public sins. These are dangerous public statements being made. They need to be confronted. They need to be exposed publicly. I will expose anti-Semitism publicly, even if it is from a fellow Christian, I will expose it publicly. In fact, all the more if it's from a professing Christian. If they refuse to dialogue behind the scenes, if they refuse to formally address these things in a public debate or dialogue, you better believe, I will call these out however we need to call them out. So he's threatening us with lawsuits. You can't bring a lawsuit against someone who has not broken the law. You could not successfully bring a lawsuit against someone who has not broken the law in any way, shape, size, or form. You cannot successfully bring a lawsuit against someone who is accurately describing the actions and activities of another. You cannot call defamation of character when someone is just quoting the words that the person says and rightly describing them. So you can threaten as much as you want. Sir, we're standing here calling you to repent, and I challenge you to a public debate as to whether your positions are anti-Semitic or not, and whether they are factual and accurate, saying ISIS didn't exist, it was an Israeli operation, or that the sexual revolution was a Zionist conspiracy, or other ridiculous charges like that, or the people living in Israel today are fake Jews speaking fake Hebrew. We will call that out. We will continue to call it out. As followers of Jesus, it is our sacred responsibility to do so. 866-348-7884. That is the number to call. All right, so 2 days ago, this happens to be two black shooters. The previous shootings, the last 15 months in America, have been white shooters. I point out the color of the shooters to say that Jew hatred, that anti-Semitism transcends race and transcends ethnicity and transcends religion. You find atheist Jew haters like Stalin. You find Islamic Jew haters in abundance. You find professing Christians who are Jew haters. You find this throughout the world. It transcends race. It transcends religion. It transcends ethnicity. All right? So the Pittsburgh synagogue shooter, October of last year, white nationalist, white supremacist, shouting all Jews must die, and ironically killing white Jews in a synagogue. The Poway synagogue shooter, a white man, 19 years old, professing Presbyterian Christian, who also believes that the Jews are destroying the white European races. And again, ironically, it's shooting and killing white Jews. And then quotes New Testament scripture to justify his hatred and his position and his demonizing of the Jews. All right? So you have these two white shooters. You could say white nationalists or white supremacists. One of them a professing Christian. Now you have two black shooters, one of them with alleged ties to the Black Hebrew Israelite cult, which is a Jew-hating cult, hating many others as well, a lost cult where people do not know the Lord, do not have a relationship with God, do not know forgiveness of sins, do not know the love of the Father, and they're filled with hate. Hate comes out of their heart, comes out of their lips, because that's who they are. They need the Lord. They need to be saved and redeemed, and how wonderful it is to know that many of them are renouncing the error and renouncing the cult and coming to truly know Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. So this time, two black shooters allegedly involved in killing an Uber driver earlier in the week, then shooting a police officer, then methodically, systematically making their way over to a kosher supermarket, kosher grocery store in Jersey City, Jersey, in a area now where a number of Hasidic Jews have moved from Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Others have moved there, a new Jewish community growing up there. And they go in, ends up with three within the grocery store killed and one police officer. So four that were killed as a result of this. And the shooter has this manifesto written, somewhat ineligible, but says it was God's will that he do this, that the Creator made him do this. And Rashida Tlaib, Muslim congresswoman, representative in the House of Representatives, she tweeted this out. It was beyond heartbreaking to learn of what appears to be another anti-Semitic act of violence. The hate growing in our country is toxic. Well, I'm glad that she tweeted that. But she tweeted out something earlier that was since deleted. This is what she first tweeted out. This is heartbreaking. White supremacy kills. And beneath that is a picture of a 24-year-old Orthodox Jew, ultra-Orthodox Jew, one of the men who was killed in the Jersey City shooting, all right, one of the three that was killed aside from the police officer in the shooting. White supremacy kills. What was she thinking? Where in the world does this come from? Yeah, I appreciate the second tweet, but what in the world was she thinking? Well, we don't have to wonder what Black Hebrew Israelites were thinking. This was on Facebook as of about 2 hours ago when I copied it. A colleague of mine, one of our ministry school grads who's active in ministry in Israel, he found this and sent it to me. I looked for it. It was still there. I reported it to Facebook, but as of 2 hours ago, so say about 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Thursday, December 12th, all right, just checking to have make sure I have the date right, Black Hebrew Israelites, look at this. Look at this. Hebrew Israelites attack fake Jews. It must be the end times. Usually when the end is near, our people start to rise up and go after the real enemy. I mean, this is beyond dangerous, folks. This is the hate-filled rhetoric of Black Hebrew Israelites and others. By the way, Rick Wiles uses the fake Jews nonsense. Say, where did they get fake Jews from? Well, it comes from a misinterpretation of Paul's words about a Jew is one as one inwardly, a misinterpretation of Jesus' words about those who claim to be Jews and are not in the synagogue of Satan. It comes from that. Then it comes from the myth that today's Jews, especially Ashkenazi Jews, are all descendants of the Khazar converts about 1,000 or 1,100 years ago, and therefore not really connected to Israel. These are the lies that get circulated. What's remarkable, as some of the Jewish community went over into the larger community there, which was a larger Black community, that some of the people in the neighborhood were blaming the deaths of the Jews on Jewish shenanigans and talking about Jews kill, that's good. That's one thing to say there are tensions in Black-Jewish relations and that some of the Black community may know that some of the Jewish community disparages them or speaks down to them or looks down at them. There are tensions that exist. Understand that. But to be rejoicing that Jews were killed, to be talking about Jewish shenanigans, this is horrific. This is absolutely horrific. So you have white supremacy hating the Jews, Black Hebrew Israelites hating the Jews, people in the neighborhood hating the Jews, and it is leading to acts of violence. When we sound the alarm, friends, we are doing it for a reason. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a Jewish-related question, by all means, give us a call. I do want to get into New Testament texts about the death of Jesus and address the question of whether the apostles, preaching in the book of Acts, blamed, quote, the Jews for the death of Jesus. Would it be right to look to a Jewish person today and say, you killed Jesus? Or Jewish leaders today, rabbis, say, you killed Jesus? Or is that completely ridiculous to make that statement? We'll take a look at the scriptures and think that through together. By the way, in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, the new revised updated edition, which came out in September, and I'm really pleased to hear readers saying that they find it to be even better than the first edition. And it is shocking, some of the updates, and we were able to get the Poway Synagogue shooting in and some of the manifesto of the alleged Christian shooter. He was the shooter, but alleged Christian. In that book, I deal with some of the misconceptions, misunderstandings of some of these verses that I just referenced, synagogue of Satan and things like that. And I deal with the Khazar theory and put that to rest just based on solid scholarly academic evidence. So if you don't have the book, you'll find it an eye-opening read about church history, but also super helpful in terms of things today. By the way, if you want to get books out for holiday gifts, for Christmas presents, you'd like me to sign them or things like that, there's still time to order from our website and get things shipped. You just need to do it quickly. Time is short. You need to do it quickly. I need to be here to sign the books. Our team needs to be here to send them out. So the sooner the better if you plan to give them out as holiday gifts. We are reaching the deadline for that very soon. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Greensboro, North Carolina. Chuck, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
My question has to do with the listing of the witnesses in Revelation. When they list 12,000 from each of the tribes, the tribe of Dan is omitted, and instead the tribe of Manasseh is inserted.
Yep.
I'm wondering what the significance of that is.
Yeah, the short answer is we really don't know why. It's a mystery. To have different tribe lists, that's not a surprise, because Jacob has 12 sons, right? One of them being Joseph. But then he later adopts Joseph's grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh, as if they were his sons. So now you have 13. So if you exclude Levi from a list sometimes and then include the two sons of Joseph, then you still have 12. Just looking at one site, I've looked at this before, and there's nothing that I've heard that was definitive to me in any way or like, that answers it. Some will claim, well, Don has to do with hiddenness, you know, Dan in Hebrew, and that's why it's not there. But, you know, why not list it there in other places? So I just typed in the question, why is the tribe of Dan missing in Revelation 7? And the first website that came up when I did a Google search was versebyverseministry.org. Not familiar with this website before this. Maybe a fine site, I'm just not familiar with it. And what's interesting is it mentions that there are 19 lists of Jacob's sons given in the Old Testament. And it says, reviewing these lists, we usually find all 13 tribes included, though sometimes the tribe is left out, usually Levi. And it gives examples of this. But why specifically leaving out Dan? There's speculation, but honestly, I don't know. My opinion is no better than the opinion. Well, let me say this. My opinion is of less value than the opinion of people who've studied it for decades and still don't have an answer. And I'm relying on what they have to say. So I honestly don't know why that's the case. And for me to just speculate in a very weak way, I don't think is edifying or helpful. So if you dig something up that you think is worthwhile, great. And this article seems to go through things, you know, fairly comprehensively. Again, there are arguments going back into Israelite history and the book of Judges, and that's why Dan's not there. It isn't compelling to me, so I'm honestly not sure.
It was suggested to me that the tribe of Dan introduced idolatry. So I went back to with the split of the kingdom, and Rehoboam had to make two golden calves, but then I found out Rehoboam was an Ephraimite.
Yeah, Jeroboam, right. Rehoboam was Solomon's son,
Jeroboam.
Yeah, again, you know, when you go into the book of Judges and the idolatry there and various things with that, it doesn't strike you as, okay, that now excludes them, because later on they're not excluded in other lists or references. So it's somewhat of a mystery. And again, if you just do a search, why is the tribe of Dan missing in Revelation 7, you'll see a number of websites. One of them, versebyverseministry.org, is the one I'm glancing at. And it has some useful information. All right, thank you. All right, listen.
Thank you very much.
Sure thing. Let's go over to the president's executive order on combating anti-Semitism. This was issued yesterday. All right, executive order on combating anti-Semitism. By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, it is hereby ordered as follows. And what's basically happening, as you see in Section 1 of policy, a couple paragraphs down, Title 6 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, and national origin in programs and activities receiving federal financial assistance. So what he wants to do is say, okay, it doesn't cover discrimination based on religion, but based on race. So let us identify the Jewish people as a nation, as a people as well. Now, some on the radical Jewish left are all up in arms about this. What? No, we're not a nation. Why? We just, hey, no, we don't want to be looked at as a nation as if we're not loyal to America, the country where we are. That's more of a reaction of the extreme left. All right, Jerusalem Post has an article talking about why that exists, and then New York Times reported, tweeted things out initially that tied things in too much with nationalism. This is not the purpose. The purpose is to just recognize Jewish people as people, regardless of how religious they are or not, because many Jews are not religious. So then they are ethnically Jewish. So let us protect them from discrimination based on that and thereby combat anti-Semitism. So the president is announcing this, and he sees Robert Jeffress in the audience, and he calls him up. Listen to the way he introduced Robert Jeffress. I thought this was cute.
Robert Jeffress, I didn't know him, but I watched him, and I'd watch him on different shows, and I'd say, I like that guy. Man, he talks really great about me, and I like people to talk well about me. And he was saying, you know, he may not be the greatest Christian I've ever seen. He may not know the Bible quite as well as the rest of us. In fact, he may not know it very well at all. But that guy's a real leader. And he's going to do a job. And I appreciated that statement. I don't know if I should have, but I did. And I think we have led, because I think we've made more progress toward faith leaders. We got rid of the Johnson Amendment, which was a disaster. So I'd like to ask if, Robert, if you could say a couple of words, and if I could also ask Alan Dershowitz to say, and then we're going to sign a very important document. Okay, Robert, please.
Yeah, so I thought that was funny. He may not know the Bible much at all. Yeah, well, truth be told. And here's some of what Pastor Jeffress had to say.
It is true. I believe President Trump is the most pro-faith president in history when you look at what he has done for people of all faiths. And Mr. President, you know, Jewish and Christian believers alike believe what God said to Abraham in Genesis 12, that God would bless those who bless Israel, and he would curse those who curse Israel. And I want to thank you, Mr. President, for being the kind of president who has the courage to stand up and be, when it comes to Israel, on the right side of history. But most importantly, you're on the right side of God, and that's why you are not going to fail, and we're going to stand behind you 100%.
Yeah, so when it comes to standing with Israel, that does not mean sanctioning everything Israel does. That does not mean looking the other way if Israel does wrong. That does not mean deifying Israel, making Israel into an object of idolatry. It does not mean making Israelis into saints or religious Jews into saints or Prime Minister Netanyahu into a saint. It doesn't mean any of that. Israel can be fairly criticized like any other nation. The Jewish people can be fairly criticized like any other people. That's good and fine and ethical and right and righteous and acceptable and needed. Let it be. But standing with Israel means recognizing that it is God who brought the Jewish people back to the land, that Jerusalem is their rightful eternal capital, recognizing those things, and recognizing that Israel is striving to be a democratic country in the midst of non-democratic countries for the most part, and it is striving for ethical rights in ways better than many, many, many other countries around the world, in particular in the Middle East. And it means standing against the Islamic onslaught that wants to wipe out Israel. And then as a friend of Israel, saying, hey, we differ here, or you need to do better here, or we don't like your policies here, or this is unfair there. Great. Have at it. Have the discussion. All right. So this is significant. This is a major statement. This is a major resolution by the White House. I understand that the whole hate crime issue can be convoluted, because every crime, in that sense, is a hate crime. You don't commit a crime against someone out of love. I really like you, therefore I'm going to steal from you. I really like you, therefore I'm going to kill you. No, that's not the way it goes. And there is dispute about how hate crime legislation can be misused. But given the fact that we do have hate crimes on the book, and we specifically single out issues having to do with discrimination, then by all means, it should be applied here as well. And the president and the administration should be applauded for this. This is another good and positive thing that President Trump has done. Therefore, I will commend him for it. All right. We come back. We're going to get into New Testament texts, see what the apostles had to say about the death of Jesus, and take your Jewish-related calls. 866-348-7884. And please, will someone who disagrees with me call in? Come on, I'll never hear from you. Let me have it, then I'll respond.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. One of the accusations that has haunted Jews through the ages, one of the accusations that has been used by anti-Semites to shed the blood of Jews, is the Jews killed Jesus. And therefore, the Jews are guilty of deicide, killing God. And therefore, all Jews of all generations are somehow responsible for what the Jewish leadership did or was complicit in the first century in Jerusalem. Does the Bible support that? Does the New Testament support that? As followers of Jesus, should we struggle with that? If the New Testament supports that notion? Or should we embrace it? Or does the New Testament not support that notion? Let's dig into the Word together and see. And if you have a Jewish-related question for me of any kind, Hebrew language question, Messianic prophecy question, question about Israel today, give me a call, 866-348-7884. All right, let's go to the book of Acts. This is immediately after the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension to heaven. All right, so he dies during the Passover, and then he is raised from the dead that